Good afternoon. Welcome to 3Tune Tuesday. For today, Tuesday, May the 16th. I am your host, Bonaparte. I am your Blind Skeleton. You are listening to Blind Skeleton Online Radio. You have found your way to my quiet cottage in the countryside. I invite you to come on in, have a seat, sit down, be comfortable. There are more than enough oversized, well-cushioned Victorian chairs for everyone. 3Tune Tuesday is my vehicle for sharing acoustically recorded songs from the pre-1924 era. All songs are from my personal collection and are played on appropriate period phonographs. Some of these songs are popular, some have suffered the ravages of time, but they all do have a great deal of character. So please sit back, close your eyes, and let yourself be transported back in time to the 1920s with me. So this week I was looking for something a little bit different, and I was having a hard time coming up with a theme. So in a case like this, I did what I often do, and I chose some songs completely at random. Now, I do have a random song generator that will pull out songs. I decided not to do that this time. I decided that I would go a little more old school, and I walked over to one of my shelves of records, and I pulled out a song, and it was that random. I looked at it, and I could barely read the label. I, in fact, had to do a lot of research onto that particular record. We'll get to that one in just a moment, as to what this record was. And it was, what I do know for a certainty is it's on the 1920s Columbia Green label. Columbia's Green label was Columbia's label that they used to record ethnic songs. And I thought, what the hell? There's my theme for the week, is ethnic, non-native English, non-native American songs. And I ran with that. I've done this before. It worked out before. I'm going to do it again. I'm sure it's going to be just as great. So Columbia did their ethnic recordings as part of a larger trend in the recording industry at the time. Victor and Brunswick were also doing similar things. Columbia had their green label, they had their standard blue label, they had their brown label. Victor did very similar things. Victor had their standard black label, they had their Victrola red seal. They didn't call it a red label. With the Victrola label, it was a red seal. And they used that, in fact, up until the 1960s. And other labels did the similar. Columbia is no different. Some of the popular ethnic recordings on the Columbia label were from Italy, Greece, and a lot of Eastern Europe. And that's what we're really going to see today, is Italy and Eastern Europe. The recordings themselves were marketed through a variety of channels at the time. You know, it's important to realize and remember that this was a business. You know, they were looking to make money. They were not just recording music because it was awesome and cool to do. Even though it is awesome and cool to do, they were looking to make money at the same time. You know, so they marketed these through a number of channels to reach the ethnic communities. They used ethnic newspapers and community organizations. And they found some success. They found that the communities themselves used these records as a way to maintain a connection to their cultural heritage. So the songs that I have today don't necessarily have a lot of good information about them. You know, unfortunately for me, the labels are rather worn and not completely legible. Further, Columbia's record keeping for these ethnic songs did not survive the years completely intact. So the best that I could do was a lot of research at home as to what these records might be. In the case of this first record, I can see that the record song itself has perhaps 4 words in the title. I can really only make out 2 of them. So with that information, with knowing the serial number of the record and little else, I was able to come up with 3 possibilities as to where this song came from. What I can tell is that the song title contains the words Cantar Bieli. I might be mispronouncing that, I likely am. But what I can tell most undoubtedly is that this is a Slovak song. It is one of 3 possibilities is that this is a Slovak song about a young woman who is in love with a horseman. The horseman gallops off to do whatever horsemen do, and the song is full of longness and sadness. With this particular possibility, the song was written in the 19th century, and it would have become a popular song in Slovakia. Another possibility, is that the song is about a young man who is riding his white horse through the forest. In this interpretation, the song is full of beauty and longing, and it captures the joys of being young and free. The third possibility that I found is that the song is about a young woman who is in love with a soldier. The song tells the story of how a woman gives the soldier a white bridle as a token of her love. The soldier promises to return to the woman, but never does. Now, there are some similarities and some ties through all these songs. They all contain a sense of romance. In 2 of the interpretations, there is a horseman involved. In another 2, there are arguably soldiers. I'm absolutely positive that if I could read the full title of the song, it would give a much better interpretation of what the song is and where it came from. Sadly, I don't speak Slovak or any of the Eastern European languages, so my ability to listen to the song and see what it says is null and void completely. But nonetheless, we have here for you a very old record, a very beat-up record full of character that is definitely Slovak in nature. Fuck. So here at Blind Skeleton, we have and we continue to be busy bringing you music and a variety of other things. This week, of course, we have Three Tune Tuesday today, which you are currently listening to. Every weekday morning at 7, we have Morning Coffee with Bonaparte. It's where I share a coffee with all of my closest friends, as well as some discussion of a particular topic of the day. On Saturdays, we have Saturday Coffee with Bonaparte. That's where I will share with you a video of a very, very fine coffee, as well as some form of coffee recipe or coffee discussion. Coffee is near and dear to us, of course. Over at our sister site, skeletonbrew.one, we do have a variety of custom coffee roasts that I invite everybody to go check out. Next week, on Wednesday, we will have the return of Electric Dreams on Wednesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Electric Dreams is where we share with you early electrically recorded music from the years 1927 to 1937, give or take a year on either side. It's where we explore early recordings and how it began to shape the music industry we know today. So the next song we have, I can definitely tell some information on, because the label is in very good shape. The title, Ustaž, Ustaž Serbine, is a Serbian song. It was recorded by the Columbia Military Band, and the label indicates that this is a patriotic song of Serbia. Now, beyond that, my knowledge of this song is very limited. So, once again, I returned to performing some research on it and came up with three possibilities for where the song originated and what it means. Possibility one is that it was first recorded in 1914. The general consensus is that it was written by a Serbian poet and writer named Jovan Jovanović Zimaj. There is one possibility where it was written by a different name, but I think that just happened to be due to a different interpretation of the name. The song, in this interpretation, is a call to arms for the Serbian people to rise up and defend their country from its enemies. It would have been a powerful song used to inspire Serbian soldiers in times of war. It would have been popular in World War I and a way to boost morale. Another possibility is that it was released in 1927. Sadly, Columbia's records from their record-keeping era, their paperwork, did not survive intact, and a lot of these early records there is little to no information on precisely. In a lot of cases, we can identify the general years as to when it may have been released, but even that is open to speculation with a year or two or three on either side. Now, that notwithstanding, according to this particular interpretation of the song is about a Serbian uprising against the Ottoman Empire in 1804. It would not have been written in 1914. It would have been used to inspire Serbian nationalism for over 150 years. Finally, another possibility for the origin of the song that I've come across is that it was also released in 1927, written by Georgi Jovanović, with music composed by Stanislav Binicki. In this interpretation as well, it would have been a call to arms for the Serbian people to rise up to defend their country, but it would have first been performed by the Belgrade Opera Choir in 1927. So as you can see, there's a lot of different possibilities as to where this song came from. Some people believe that it was first written in 1927, while others believe it was written, 100 years before then. In either case, we have a copy of this song by the Columbia Military Band that we're going to play for you next. Now, that certainly had the feel of a national anthem behind it. One can see how that would be interpreted and construed as a patriotic song, one to be played at events to get people riled up and cheering. So before we get into our last song of the day, just a couple of other points. Please, please, please do get in touch with me. Send me requests. The collection of records and songs that we have at our disposal can be found on the Blind Skeleton website at blindskeleton.one. Now, please do send requests. Love to hear them. Love to play them. Once a request is played, if I have your email address, I will send you a coupon for 10% off coffee at skeletonbrew.one. Or just plain old send me an email. You don't need to go through the webpage. You can find me at bonaparte@blindskeleton.one. You can send me a tweet on Twitter, of course, @skeleton_one. I am Bonaparte, your blind skeleton. And of course, follow and share and like us on social media. Spread the good blind skeleton word. Our last song of the day has the least amount of interpretation behind it. It is a song by the name of Primavera Deliziosa. This is an Italian song that was composed by E.A. Mario. The song's title translates to Delightful Spring in English and was first published in 1914. Now, when we say first published, we actually mean that the sheet music was published. You know, back in the early 20th century, as the music industry was just growing and getting on its feet, sheet music was still the primary method of writing, printing, and selling music. Records happened to be something that was performed after the fact. The song was recorded by a number of artists, including Italian singer Teresa Di Matianzo, who is who we will be listening to today. Teresa Di Matianzo was born in Italy in 1893, became a popular singer in the 1910s and 20s, and was known for her very clear and powerful voice, as well as her ability to interpret a wide range of music, from popular songs to classicals. She recorded several versions of this particular song over the course of her career. The lyrics of the song are about the joy and beauty of springtime, which we are in summer right now, but it's still very much a springtime feel outside, so it's very fitting. The song is about the happiness that comes with the return of warmer weather and longer days. This is something that I can personally appreciate. It's nice to wake up in the morning and see sunlight, as opposed to waking up in the morning and having to turn on, you know, various lights just to begin to stumble around the house. So this particular version of the song, like the first one we heard today, is on the Columbia Green label. It would have been published before the advent of electrical recording, even though I don't have an exact year for it, so this is certainly an acoustically recorded song, and I do hope you enjoy it.
Una vista falsa, che si dure dove m'avrì.
And that is our show for the week. Thank you very much for coming in and spending your lunch hour with me. Please drop me an email or a tweet. Let me know what your favorite song of the week was. I'm definitely interested in hearing what you need to share with me and what you have to say. Always a pleasure to see you, and I'm certainly hoping to see you again next week. So I do see stepping in through the side door. Just as she does, the sneaky little lady, we've got the story lady coming in to spend a couple of minutes with us and share some wisdom of some old stories of lore. Thank you all again for dropping in. I hope you have a fantastic day.
And now it's time once more for our very own story lady.
Today's story is one I call The Ugly Caterpillar, and it goes something like this. Not exactly like this, but something like this. Once upon a time, there was an ugly caterpillar with lots of ugly eyes and legs and an ugly yellow stripe down its side. He was so ugly, none of the other insects would play with him, and little boys tried to step on him and make him all ushy. Then one day in late summer, while all the insects were making fun of the ugly caterpillar, something wonderful happened. Right before their eyes, the ugly caterpillar turned into an ugly butterfly.
Thank you, Story Lady. And be listening next time, boys and girls, when the Story Lady tells you all about how no-talent girls get acting jobs in Hollywood.